Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine kingdom, power, and glory, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so welcome back. But first, I would like to share. I shared yesterday with the advisory board, so who are on board, you heard. But this our book study was mentioned in Bezan Catholic magazine in Slovakia, Catholic Church, Catholic Bezan Catholic TV. They brought this, well, it was wrapped in with other topics, but well, this activity was introduced. So I am hoping that it might bring an inspiration to follow something like that over there. Oh, there are nice pictures of you there. Just my pictures were bad because I am in each picture, a photo I could find. So I am doing something like I couldn't find the best. You look beautiful, Ijovi, but I. Oh, okay. So this is good. I was pleased because well, I could see that they could see value or something like that, and. Let's stop because pride is coming. So we are going to continue. Let's hope that we'll make more than two paragraphs today. May I ask you? Oh, we continue on page 154. The paragraph starts with victories.
Victories in the unseen warfare do not always occur or happen quickly. Victory is a gift from God, given to the ascetic by God in its own time, known only to God and determined exclusively by God himself. In fact, defeats are necessary for us. Here we have in mind defeats that arise out of our own weakness and sinfulness, not from a change in our desires. Defeats are allowed for our humility so that we might see and learn the fallenness of our nature and that we might admit the necessity of the Redeemer, believe in him, and confess him. Yeah.
Those are like two good advices we are finding there. The first is advice is to be careful and to watch what is going on in us. Because if we reach a victory in some kind of trial, it for sure it leads to some kind of this satisfaction inside. This we are happy that we reach some kind of level, and this satisfaction can come. It means that well, we don't try to continue. We are satisfied with reached level. And usually there is like possible this pride is starting to grow at that time. And probably we all have this experience when we reach some kind of a level. And usually what comes is fall, we fail. I remember one story. A man told me that he was like had this. Probably mentioned that or not. Well, it's not. It's worth it to mention it again. That he said that he made like a resolution in the beginning of Great Fast truly keep great fast, to have good prayer rule, to pray a lot of, and he was trying hard. It was Saturday before great fast, and he told himself evening, I made it. I kept the fast, I kept my prayer rule, well done. And he said, yeah, I was so happy. Sunday of Pascha morning, he got angry with his wife morning before liturgy. It was like stupid thing, not important, small thing. He said, I was like angry whole liturgy. And I knew that I don't have this peace and this attentiveness I had during the great fast. I said, I was so angry that then I even didn't go, I angry at my wife. You know, he said that I didn't go home. I went to a bar and, you know, I got drunk. I said, I ruined whole in through this small thing, I ruined all my effort in this 50 days. And he said it was like mystery. I said, why? And he was asking, why God let me to do this? I was trying so hard. And it was difficult for him to understand that, well, he somehow caused it to himself, by himself, because he failed. He became like victim of this dissatisfaction. He failed this temptation to be satisfied with myself. I did something, you know. It caused that immediately God permitted this trial, even this fail, for him to realize. He must realize that he still depends on God, and he always should give us to give him glory and to praise him and to nonstop ask him for protection. And he's saying, Brianchino is saying that many times we fail. It's permitted by God, and these fails are for our good. It's for our, we should learn from this. And it is somehow like normal that God as our Father, he leads us, and if we try to run to not correct way, he has this stick, rod, you know, so he's using that, you know, not to punish us, but to keep us in the right way. And many times we say, why God chose this painful way? Well, this is a mystery. He chose the same painful way for his son on the cross. So we have to remember those things that victories are a gift from God, and if there is something would be rich. And many times remember that for example, if we come to some kind of habit, for example in prayer, and after like 1 month we say, it's fine. Through this practice I have nice rhythm of prayer, and we like that. We are pleased by that. Try to watch what will happen next day. Usually next day after this my thinking, meditation, probably it will be ruined if you don't pay attention. And if you pay attention, so it will be so difficult that we will need to use all power to keep the rule. Patrick?
So, I recently kind of went through something like that where I thought, was really trying to focus on prayer and things like that, and was getting better, and I was focusing more when I was praying and things like that, and I thought to myself, boy, when I see Father, I'm going to get to tell him things are really improving. And temptations just flew in from everywhere. And it was like, I felt like God's the pilot, I'm the co-pilot, and I tell him, okay, I got this now. And he's like, really? Okay. Go ahead. See how that works out. You know, and then all of a sudden everything, you know, and then it all goes wacko. But it's free will. You know, he just says, you think you got this? Okay, I'm not going to force myself on you. And it's the natural consequences of our actions. He just lets us deal. Lets us experience them. And then he helps us when we do.
Yeah.
But it's I do that all the time. When I think, okay, I got this, you know. And then, you know. It's in my life, too, I've used this example, I think, before. It's like, I'm one of those people that, you know, God wants to help me clean up my life. But I'm one of those people, like, you hire a maid, and you got to clean up the house before you get the maid in there to clean the house. Okay, you got it. And I think I have to get everything in order before I bring God in. And everything's cool, and everything looks good, and he can come in then. But until then, I'm going to try and do it myself. And it hasn't worked yet in 62 years, so.
No. And you thank you for that, because you brought another. I recall this one thought. I don't remember who said this, but he said that when you said that God lets you, okay, go, and that this is happening, actually, that many of these trials, we say, all these temptations, so it is just a result that God lets us to be by ourselves. And suddenly all this corruption of our nature is visible, and we have to face it without his help. So it is not like something that he gave us some kind of trial or pain. We just experience what we are at that moment. So we should not like this is another thing why we should not complain, because, well, now this is who I am without God's help. Thank you for that. Thank you. May I continue? All right. It seems that we are going to make progress today.
When we are defeated, our invisible enemies inspire guilt in us for our failure, which leads to lassitude in our labor of prayer, doubt in its efficacy, and the desire to stop praying and go instead and do good work before the eyes of all men. Let us not fall prey to this lie. Let us open our wound with self-denial and lack of shame before our all-good and powerful physician, who commanded the salvific lack of shame and promised to crown it with defeat for our enemies. Let us lay down this promise in our soul until our last breath, never to leave the labor of prayer and from it to pass into eternity. The shame we feel after defeat is senseless. Worse, it is the evil mocking of our enemies. Is this fig leaf, shame, and other feelings like it, capable of covering the sins of man from the all-knowing God? God sees our sins even without our confession. He seeks our confession only in order to heal us. If he instructed his apostle to forgive his repentant brother 7 times in a day, then how much more will he himself forgive us if we constantly come to him with prayer and confession?
Yeah. So he continues, we have to remember that all the things he's talking, all this advice he's giving in the chapter on prayer. So all these temptations are not connected with this topic for the time of time of our prayer. But not only, you know, we can find some kind of universal meaning of this advices. But he continues, he reveals this tactic of demons, that when we fail, so they are not satisfied. there is like second phase. When we fail, they come and they start to whisper thoughts of shame. They give us this same, oh, you poor one, you know, you are not worthy. You know, you want to reach this art of prayer, but you are not able to pray today. You cannot concentrate. You cannot control thoughts. You poor thing, you know, so you should abandon it because it's not for you. And the same, this kind of thought, and it is like, I would say that it is like this self-pity, which leads to resignation. But this resignation is like a lie we say to ourselves. We say, God, we cannot continue in our life with you because we are those poor beings who don't have, you know, power. And because of that, humbly we admit that we are stopping to make effort because we are not able. And this is something what leads to very bad state. And we have to realize when the thought comes, and not only during prayer, many in life, you know, when we experience this fail in some areas. So if we let the shameful thoughts to put roots to our mind, to our heart. So it means that we fail again, and we, because we didn't recognize this tactic of demons. There are like those who, if like in the war, they like wound you, and they go, and who is still alive, they try to shoot it, you know, to finish that person. And it is so easy way. And many times we are not able to recognize this temptation, that we feel sorry about ourselves, how weak we are, and it leads us to even less work. So to know this tactic is very important. We have to keep that. We have to keep that, and when these thoughts come, we have to fight. And he says about this forgiveness of sins, forgiveness, that he reminds us that there is, even any time when we come to him, he offers this forgiveness for us. Non-stop. And then we have to realize this good thought to keep in mind that, well, I can get back his help. And then another thought which is helpful is that we have to remember, like it was said, that through confession we get so much grace from above, that if we use all this grace, we would never sin again. So huge God's help is that we cannot use it. It is because of this, our limits, our soul, our mind, that we are not able to totally grab all this power from above, but it's enormous. God always gives big gifts, very big gifts. So we have to keep these promises in our mind, and they can help us in these moments when these shameful thoughts come, this temptation. Yes.
It's something I have to remind myself all the time. Guilt is about something I've done. Shame is about who I am. Guilt about something I've done leads me to regret and repentance, and leads me to confession and reunification with God. Shame is who I am, and it leads, like you said, to self-pity and disgrace and despair. And yeah. Despair is a powerful weapon of the devil.
Yeah.
It's just, and so I have to make sure that my guilt doesn't turn into shame, because Shame is a very dangerous place for me. Yeah. So.
Well, this is, and I have to add that many people, and probably you have this, you can see people who are coming and leaving church. They come for a while and they then disappear. And this is, they come many times with this desire to start new life, this really good desire for God. And they start, and they start to face own weakness. And it is the shame that they are not able to conquer this passion immediately, which leads them to resignation, and they give up and they leave. This is a very common thing, very common, and it is so difficult to heal that. It's so difficult to heal that because, look, they would need probably to go through these formation classes, meetings, which we have, because they have to learn these mechanisms of spiritual life to understand totally. But if they don't have these basics, and you cannot like explain in like meeting which lasts 1 hour or 2 hours, you know, it's difficult to explain everything. But it would help them if they go through this formation. This is why I think that we were like in a parking now, for next year there is a there will be meeting or this convention, Priestly Convention, and it was. I am very happy that theme is what to do in pastoral work. You know how to approach, and the theme will be catechesis. You know how to bring. So, I hope that there will be this part of not only to teach about like this truth of faith, but I think the more important is to teach about these laws of spiritual life, because this is unknown. But I think this spiritual tradition was some kind of broken, and it is not only here, I think everywhere, because I think this trend or this progress in society, technological progress, and how society changed like in the span of 100 years. So this natural giving to this tradition to new generation was broken because, well, children were moving away from parents, grandparents, and these ways of life was broken, changed, and through this it was impossible to give it from this wisdom from parents to children. And we start to experience lack of this understanding. So, well, we have to feel sorry and to pray for those people, and maybe to somehow to use this wisdom you gain here from this study to help them in the time when they are weak. All right, let's continue. Another paragraph.
Let us pay diligent attention to the following. Is our own duplicity strengthening our enemies in the unseen war? Is it perhaps the reason for their frequent victories? Are we not ourselves perhaps making their authority and influence over us stronger by doing their will through the fulfillment of our carnal desires, inclinations, and passions? Do we not anger God by these actions? Do we not send him far away from ourselves? Is not the love of the world active in us, which leaves us only with the veneer of God, of being God's servant, but makes us, in essence, the enemies of God?
Yeah. Wow. So he makes some kind of conclusion on these previous paragraphs now, and we can feel that thinking about this, his advice, his words, his teaching is not pleasant, because he really uncovers what is hidden in our hearts. And not only he uncovers what is real state of our heart, but through this thing about this his teaching causes that we know and we start to realize that this is not only to be aware of this temptation from demons, but we have to be aware about way of our life. As he says that the way how we live can make somehow their activity more stronger. So if I go and I'm consumed by word, so I am opening myself for their bigger or stronger like attacks. I'm supporting them. I remember that one priest said during homily that it doesn't make sense to load wood to stove in winter if you leave all windows and doors open. It doesn't make sense. You can put as much as possible. and you can it might be our experience, or we can see this thing that if we pray a lot of, really we put like long, really huge despair rule upon us, when we try to pray, and then we see almost nothing. We read these teachings of Holy Fathers, or prayer about this sweetness which comes, and we have no experience. But we have to realize that many times it is that we are doing the same thing. We are putting like this prayer on this stove or heart, but in the same way, we keep activities alive or habits alive, which are from world, or there are like activities or passions. We can compare it to these open doors and windows during winter time. So we cannot experience inner blessing if we non-stop bring this cold to this heart. So it is, this is teaching is really for, we have to realize that we must be hearers. It's in spiritual life, it is not easy walk. It is for hearers, it is for fighters, spiritual life. Because we have to non-stop try to fight. We have to have courage to really, without mercy, to name these passions, those activities which opens us to this external, internal, like temptations. We have to be very, very clear about to realize that, okay, if I do this, I am giving space and strength to these demons to attack me more. So we have to be very, very careful, wise, but we have to have courage to stop that. This courage is necessary because it means that we have to somehow cut off something. And it might be from our life, and it might be very painful. Very painful. Patrick, you want? Okay. All right, so let's continue another paragraph.
Okay. A double-minded man, unstable in all to his ways of virtue, so much more does he waver on the higher path that precedes virtues, the path of prayer. He rejects God, as does the one who is neither hot nor cold. He is incapable of becoming a true disciple of prayer, which brings its students before the very face of God for supernatural instruction, leading them in the footsteps of Christ if they do not reject all that they have, that is, the sickly deviation of mankind's fallen nature toward the world. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Only those who belong completely to Christ can acquire true prayer.
Well, I think that these words, this paragraph is very good explanation or gives answer to those who ask that what is the problem in the church or how to understand this crisis we experience or we see around us in the church. And not only, because we can see, again, one man, he told me that look, Father, I believe in God. I believe that he saved me. I believe that he wants to give me eternal life. But he said, but I cannot find any joy from spiritual life. He said that I read this life of saints, but it seems to be not real what I am reading. It's like from like fairy tale. And he said that what they say about happiness and joy from the love for life with God, I don't experience nothing of that. And well, and we can. It's easy sometimes to make it. He had courage to tell me that, because many people, they feel the same thing, but because they try to believe and try to go, but they are afraid to say these words. Some kind of this testimony, because they think that something's wrong with them. And I said before that I think this is the result of this broken tradition which we experience, because look, if we just take, because this chapter is about prayer, if you go to your youth, from childhood, and then, you know, did somebody explain you what prayer is? How to pray? What are conditions for prayer? You know, and how to use time for prayer? Did we come to understand what prayer is? You know, but those are very important questions. You know, and we have to realize that many parents, they do a good job, they take care, their children pray evening or morning and before like eating, before, you know, so they try to do this very well. But they cannot give what they don't have. If they didn't come to understanding what prayer really is, they cannot lead to this prayer life the others, even their children. So and we have several generations which we raise in this way. So if you take parents who like, that's my age, know that when I was a child, so well, the parents, they took care to pray evening, morning, and it was like nuns, they prayed at first with us, and when we were like older, so they just, do you pray? Okay. But I would tell you that many of my friends, or this, what do you say, that we were in the same group, you know, friends really, but this generation, you know, I remember from elementary school, for example, they are out of church, and they pray the same way. You know, and well, because if you just tell you should pray and you gives like a small rule. And even they pray every evening, and they keep that. They come to the point when they realize, why I'm doing that? What is the fruit of the prayer? So this tradition, and we know, like, when we started this chapter on prayer, we know, if you recall, that was like 5 or 6 pages. He was talking about preparation for prayer. You know, and I remember that when I first, my experience with the prayer is something deeper was when we went to church. And so rectory was like in distance from the church. We had to like walk like 5 minutes, I would say, to the church. But I remember one thing. When I went with my father, I knew that when we left the rectory, I couldn't talk to him. He was like silent. I knew that he's praying. I respected that. And I was wondering what he's doing. It was like mystery for me. I couldn't talk to him. Well, I could. He would answer, but you know that discussion is over. You know that he would give answer. And in this day, he came to the church, and he stayed in this like some kind of silence. That even if they would talk, you know, it was like what was necessary. And then the liturgy started, and I realized that the liturgy for him started not at the altar when he opened the royal doors. I knew that it started before, when he left house. And this was always like mystery for me, and I wanted to gain this, to understand this. But so I was blessed by this example. You know, another example for me was my grandfather. And, you know, he was taken to gulags in Siberia. Probably I said this story, and he made this promise, and well, if God will protect him and return him back from this Russian captivity, because he saw that people were like dying like flies around him. And he said, I will give my son to you, to be priest for the church. And from that time, he never stopped to pray for that. And God took to his son, and his daughter became like wife of priest. And he never stopped to pray. And he continued because that, well, they have sons. He saw that maybe one of them, some would become priest, so he started to pray for this son. His brother then started, so he continued to pray for, but then he prayed for me, then he prayed for my brother. His wife died, and he was like very old, he couldn't move, and he said, I know that I'm going to die until I will not get blessing from that youngest one. And what happened was, when he was dying, he received last confession or absolution and anointing from the hands of the youngest one he was praying for. But, well, this was very powerful, but I remember when we came to visit, I remember which he was living with my mother at the time, when we came to visit, and we had, for example, like, not really a time, we just stopped to say hello and to say, and we had to continue. And when we came in the time of his prayer, he ignored us. He was in, I came and said, hello, glory to Jesus Christ, glory him forever. He continued in prayer. And then he explained, well, I'm praying for you. You know, you should not disturb me. And this dedication and this prayer life, this was like something what caused you to really always challenge this my prayer life, how I pray, how I prepare for prayer, and I know that I should grow in this. And look, but talking to him, to my grandfather, grandmother, and others, you know, said you could see the I was still small, but I remember my other grandfather. They are like little farm, and he on his retirement, so they kept a cow. So he went with cow always, like out to, you know, to find like. What comes, grass, you know. Well, he was like watching his cow, you know. So, but I remember this, that when he went, he had this like, this vibe, one small one, very fancy, in one hand, the second hand, his prayer book. He spent all day with his prayer book, in silence, you know, somewhere behind that village, you know. And so, I was blessed that I was surrounded with these people, these older people who had this like strong prayer life. And I still like could see my second parish, you could always see even like this generation like who were in middle age and coming closer to retirement. You could see how they were formed by their parents, and they said, well, my time of retirement is approaching, and well, I need, they say, I need to work more on prayer, I need to work more on church life and to make deeper. And it was like a natural gift, but this was broken. It doesn't exist. Oh, it exists somewhere, but in majority it's not. So this is very important that what we are doing here, because we are trying to learn again this wisdom, which they kept like naturally. It was like part of the lifestyle, and it was formed through many generations before. Probably they didn't know nothing about Brianchino, about the saints, the teaching of Holy Fathers, they had no idea. But these rules were present in their lives, and they were into generation to generation. It was broken, and I think that our big role in present time is to rediscover this spiritual tradition, put it to our life, then we can put in our next generation to start some kind of renewal of spiritual life. And all right, I do too much. Let's continue. Maybe make a record a little bit.
Our apparently insignificant passions, our apparently innocent love for something or someone, can bring down the mind and heart from heaven and cast them down to the earth among the innumerable snakes and reptiles of the vast sea of life. The Holy Fathers liken the ascetic who succeeds in prayer to an eagle, but pitiful passions to the threads of a net. If even one talon of the eagle's majestic foot becomes caught in this snare, then the eagle becomes incapable of his flight upward, and he becomes an easy and inevitable prey of the fowler. Useless, then, are the strength and courage of the kingly bird, okay, taking their cues from the...
I forgot to...
Okay, that's all right.
Okay, so this is very important. Another paragraph. It's like paragraph after paragraph is very important. And again, we are on the journey to reach a real, true prayer. What is this real, true prayer? Many saints, they say, it is stand in awe, in silence, in front of God. That true prayer, it's this God's gift when we are totally silent and Holy Spirit prays within us. And this is amazing, something if we read what the saints are not even able to describe the state of soul and mind and heart in this moment. They feel they are taken by God, and God, they said that this prayer is just coming by itself inside. And it is time when it's experience, they are not able to explain through words, because we don't have words for that. They say that it's like foretaste of heaven. And they are unable to explain that. And the prayer should be this. This is a real prayer. What we are trying, how we pray now, it's just preparation for this gift. We are preparing ourselves. So this is for this biggest gift of prayer, real prayer. So when we pray and we through prayer we conquer our thoughts and we put our concentration and and everything, these good techniques to be and we make good preparation, maybe can be somehow tied with this prayer in this intimate way somehow. It takes time, it takes effort, it is something what requires our blood. But we have to realize that we cannot reach this state of preparation for this big gift if we remove ascetical tools from our life. And these ascetical tools are all those things which help us to remove passions from our mind, heart, soul. And as he says, that even if there is like one passion, like this ego, can become like prey, you know, of this hunter, even if this one is caught in this net. Just one thing can keep us away from receiving this God's grace, which is this pure prayer, real prayer, which is God's gift. So we have to have this decision to really again to every day to raise that, well, I am willing to do everything, force myself. Like saints, they say that it's common saying that what we are supposed to do as a Christian, to protect ourselves, be watchful, suffer and fight. We have to give blood to receive grace, to receive spirit. So, well, encouraging, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so are we able to make it? Yes, we are. Still two paragraphs.
Two more, okay. Taking their cues from the Holy Gospels, the Holy Fathers instruct us to go sell what you have of the world and give to the poor. And taking up your cross, reject yourself by resisting your passions and your fallen will, so that you may be able to pray without frustration and distraction. While your passionate attachment to the world lives within you, it will fight your prayer through frustration and distraction. It is necessary at first to reject all that you have of the earth, to separate yourself from the world, to disown the world. Only after such a rejection can a Christian see his inner bondage, prison, chains, wounds, deadness of soul. The battle with the lifelessness of our heart, which is waged by the help of prayer, with the guidance of the Word of God, is crucifixion, death of the soul for the salvation of the soul.
So he's like making an introduction to some kind of next section. He's going to talk a little bit about these tools, ascetical tools, what we are supposed to practice. But he makes this general introduction. He repeats that we have to make this detachment from the world, from everything what is not supporting this our effort to be holy. And we have to be with this in this, many times we do this, and I say, yes, I don't go there, I don't read that, I don't watch that, I avoid this company, you know, of people. But we have to realize one thing, and we have to be aware of the things that we should be like testing our heart and mind accord gospel much deeper. I need to be very careful in this, because I mentioned this my grandfather. There's the funniest, you know, like experience was that we spent like little boys, you know, with my brother, 1 or 2 weeks there during vacations. And at the time, my grandfather, he took like, during retirement, he took like part jobs. He was like,
guard,
you know, in this agriculture company there. So he went like evening there, and he was like guard there. Nobody would come go there, but they had to have. So he loved that, because he had whole night like peace. But like in summertime, like now, he started like around 6 or 5. So we always went to, and we brought him like dinner and something, and we used this opportunity when we were like wandering through this, you know, area. And there was a hole there, a cistern, you know, open. Mm-hmm. And it was filled with this waste which was going out from this buildings when there were cows, and you know, it was horrible smell, you know, that area. And I think we were playing and maybe catching each other, you know. So my brother, he was running and he jumped there, so he's like up to here, you know, his neck, he was like filled with this. I was laughing so hard, you know. He got out. My grandfather, he said, well, at first I will clean you, and then I will give you your body. But well, he tried the best to clean him, but he said, go to grandma home, and she was really happy, you know. So my brother spent in the shower for a real long time. She was trying to use everything upon him, you know. But still, when he came, but it was like already night, you know, so we were sharing this big bed, you know, and he came and you could still smell this, you know. I said, I cannot sleep here. I was coming, I can't sleep here because he smells so bad. And my grandmother, she said, no, he's fine. He's fine. I said, he smells horrible. No, it's okay. And I realized then, next day or something, that look, they have a cow home too, so she was like around cow all time. Her ability to smell was like, she was adjusted to the smell. Right. She couldn't. You know, and I think that this is what's happening to us, that we spend so much time in the world, so we adjust, so we cannot smell those things which are not good. That it's like we are immune towards them. And this is what he's saying, that we really, we have to recognize where it is. That we should see our inner bondage, prison, chains, wounds, deadness of soul. And many, many things we can see, but there is area of things which we are immune and we don't see that as a wrong thing. We don't see that, and those things can be those passions and bad habits which are killing our soul and make our soul not able to receive grace and to grow. And this is why we are like stuck. We are trying hard, and we don't have this joy from God. We don't have this joy from prayer, from anything. It's like hard way for us, you know. So this is why we have to force to do this job, to know ourselves and to know what is bad. And as we read in the beginning, to weigh how to know that, these secret things which are hidden, like from understanding, is to read Gospels and to read Fathers. He gives those two advices in the beginning of the book. We have to do this because this opens our eyes for those hidden things and uncovers what is bad in us. All right, I think we should stop here.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.